Hallelujah. We trust the Lord. We put our trust in Him. Tonight is an opportunity to put your trust in Him. Holiday season. You got many things happening. We got all the things are happening in the world. You look at the newspaper, opportunity to trust God. You look at online news. You look at listen to the television, opportunity to trust God. And you go to work, it's an opportunity to trust God. No matter what you're doing, we ought to be trusting God. Isn't that right? We're glad that you are here tonight, and we are glad that you have chosen to worship God and to lift up the name of Jesus in this hour tonight. And we're glad for those of you that are online watching us, and we ask that you join in and just get ready to receive, just like these people have come expecting to receive. And so we're believing that you will be able to receive right where you're at. And so we thank God that you have chosen to tune in with us. Praise God. We are glad that you are in the house tonight, as I said. And look at your neighbor and tell him, I'm really glad you're here tonight. Isn't that right? Wouldn't it be sad if you were the only person here? That would be sad, wouldn't it? But we're glad for each other. Isn't that right? And I want to tell you this, that, you know, God wants to minister to people, to His people, and He does that through His Word. He also does that through the work of the Holy Spirit. But sometimes He does it through the work of His people. So there's three basic ways in which God can minister to people. And how many of you have ever gotten a note or a text or an email just at the right time? Now we know, we say, well, the Holy Spirit did that. Yes, He did, but there was a person involved. And so we want to not minimize the fact that we are in the Word, in the Spirit, but we're also in the body. Isn't that right? And so tonight I want to give you part two of something I started the last time that I was privileged to share the Word of God. And I started part one. I gave you part one on God is a giver. Are you a receiver? And so tonight I want to give you part two of that. Let me recap just a little bit on part one. We started out with Hebrews 11:6. But without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And so we see that God is a rewarder, or he is a giver. He is the one who gives of what he has to his people. He is willing to do that. He is able to do that. And so we understand then that we must get that concept down inside of us. God is a giver. Can you say it with me? God is a giver. There isn't any doubt about it. He gave His Son, Romans 8:32. And He said this then, how shall He not also give us all the rest? Isn't that good? And so we know that this holiday season, we're celebrating the gift that God gave, called Jesus Christ, came in the form of a baby lay in a manger in Bethlehem, and that's an incredible story. But I want to tell you that God had some tremendous, awesome things in mind for you and I as He sent His Son here for you. And so I want to encourage you to get that down in you. God is a giver. There are a number of scriptures that we won't get into that we read, whole bunch of scriptures that just let you know that God is a giver. And but we know this much, that He gives liberally and doesn't, He does not reproach us. He doesn't get upset, but He gives liberally. He gives us, He would like to be able to determine enough for you, But most of the time, we take that job. And he says he is, in Ephesians 3:20, he is able to do abundantly above all that you can ask or think. But I want to give you a little clue here. How many of you know he's able? But now here's something that you've got to, if you want to follow God accurately, you understand this then. Nevertheless, even though he is able to do more, nevertheless, he does according to what you think and ask. So you see, I need to get busy asking. I need to get busy changing my thinking. I need to get busy renewing my mind. I need to reprogram that brain and so it'll function different. I need to upgrade to God's way of thinking. Why? Because you see, I'm the one that really decides how much God can do in my life or how little. And so we want to encourage you to renew your mind to this truth that God is a giver. He's a liberal giver. He's a more than enough giver. And in case you and I wonder whether he has enough, the Bible says in Haggai 2:8, he says this, that the silver is mine and the gold is mine. And so you have to understand that he says every beast of the field is mine and the cattle on 1,000 hills. He can bring you some cattle to sell if you need it. And then in case you wonder how often he's in the mood to give, the Bible says he daily loads us with benefits. Every day he's ready. Every day he's willing. Every day he's able. Every day he's listening for you to think, believe, and ask for the right things. Because he wants to move into action. And I believe that we get that. If you will, I'm pretty sure they still have that CD out there. If you did not get that message, that is a short synopsis of it. I want to begin with Matthew chapter 7. And I want to give you part 2. We talked, first of all, about God as a giver. The question remains, are we receivers? Look at your neighbor and say, that's the question. Are you a receiver? Are you a receiver? Now, just take a moment, tap yourself on the chest or somewhere on your shoulder or something, and just say, am I a receiver? See, you're the one that answers that question. For yourself. I can't receive for you. You can't receive for me. You have to decide whether you're a receiver. And it's very important that you are a receiver. Most of you have your cell phones here with you, and they receive lots of information. And you go on Google and you receive information through that instrument. If something's wrong with that instrument, it cannot receive. Okay? Nothing wrong with the other end of it. The signal's out there. I just want to tell you this. There's nothing wrong on heaven's end. That God is ready. The provision is out there. You got to realize that God wants to do some good things in your life. And so Matthew chapter 7 and verse 7, it says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. Let that soak in just a little bit. Everyone that asks receives. And he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. One of the things that happens when you read that scripture right there, everyone that asks receives. Most Christians read that wishfully and wistfully. Look at that. I wish I received every time I asked. I wish I received. But I've asked for many things and I've never gotten them. But you see, sometimes asking is the first step Asking is a part of it, but you got to know how to receive. Got to know how to receive. You also have to understand that there's certain kinds of people that are able to receive. There's also certain kinds of people that are not able to receive because they're not acting in the right way, in accordance with the Word. Years ago, I debated whether I wanted to share this tonight. Some people might get a strange idea about me. I already do. Thanks to Tad, they got a strange idea about me tonight. But so I might as well go ahead and share it. June 26 of 1982 was on a Saturday. And I was in a meeting and getting ready to come to Rhema that fall. And I had a visitation from the Lord in that service, and the Lord spoke to me, and He said, "I've come to teach you how to receive from Me." And He said, first of all, there are three kinds of people that do not receive from Me. I want to share those briefly with you. First of all, the first kind of people that do not receive from God are ignorant people. People who are ignorant of God's Word. They're good people, didn't say they're bad people. They're well-meaning people. They're loving people. They might be somebody that give you the shirt off their back. You understand what I mean by that? Just some of the best people to be around. But if they're ignorant of God's Word, they are not able to receive because they don't know what God is offering, and they don't know what the Bible says in regards to receiving from Him. So I can be a person full of love and still be poor as Job's turkey or dog or whatever it is. I always forget what that is, that animal is. I know it belonged to Job, though, whatever it was. Whatever that saying is. You understand what I mean? But you see what I'm saying? But I want to be a person of love, and I want to be a person who receives. You don't have to choose. You can be both. You can be a good person and a receiver. Amen? And so Hosea 4:6 says it this way, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge." In other words, they are, that lack of knowledge, the ignorance of God's Word can keep you from what God said you could have. Just simply not knowing about it. Somebody said that ignorance is bliss, but the truth of the matter is what you don't know can hurt you. Another person said it this way, "Ignorance is not a sin, but on the other hand, God can't bless it." Isn't that something? But now here, I can date myself a little bit, but I remember when V8 drink came out and they had a commercial and somebody was found out about V8 and they were drinking something else and they said, "Wow, I could have had a V8. And the truth is they could have had one, but they didn't know about it. How many times are we not aware of what God wants us to have? And so, it's like Billy Graham said, "Heaven is full of answers for which no one has ever bothered to ask for." And heaven is full of people now who are now finding out what they could have had while they were here on earth. Isn't that something? And so our mind needs to be renewed with the Word of God so that we know what God's will is. That's why it's important that you get in the Word. Don't cheat yourself. Open the Word. Instead, open the Word. There you can find out God's plan, His purposes, His promises, His blessings, so that you can enjoy them and accomplish what it is that God has for you. People struggle sometimes with the plan and purpose that God has for their life. But I want to tell you, if you get into the Word of God and start believing what it says, it will unveil to you what God has planned for you. You'll find a reason for why you're here. Isn't that right? And so only when you know someone wants to give you something and what it is, only then are you in a position to receive. Isn't that right? Let me give you the second kind of people that Jesus said would not receive anything that the Lord spoke to me. He said, are fearful people. The first one was ignorant people. The second one is fearful people. There was an incident in Matthew chapter 8 where the disciples were going across the lake and Jesus is asleep. They said, oh, Master, please help us so that we don't perish. The problem was Jesus had already told them to go to the other side. And so he said to them, why are you fearful, O you of little faith? Why are you fearful? In other words, they were not in a position to receive as long as they were fearful. We know this much then, that fear will keep you from operating in faith. Notice they were fearful and little faith. Amen. Now, if you're faithful, then you'll be of little fear. See, it's impossible to be both. Isn't that good? Yeah. Tell your neighbor, it's so good I can't hardly sit here. But there are different kinds of fear. People deal with all kinds of fears. I saw a list here some time ago, over 500 different phobias that people that are now named that people deal with. I mean, it's absolutely, I was going to say crazy, but those phobias will drive you crazy. Fear opens the door to a lot of things. The problem is that's not the way God operates. Just because you're afraid doesn't mean that you're activating God's power. Not at all. See, the enemy will speak lies to you so that fear will grip you and paralyze you so that you don't do what God wants you to do. You're afraid to even claim or ask for the promise that's in the Word that God is ready to perform. I know of Christians that are afraid to ask God for the provision that Jesus provided when he hung on the cross. Oh, no, I just wouldn't dare. But you see, here's the thing. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7 says that God has not given us a spirit of fear. Right. Isn't that right? Yes. Now, I know this is pretty simple. But in the simple areas is where we miss it most of the time. That's what we got to tweak. That's what we got to maintain. Isn't that right? That's right. And I'll tell you the truth about it. I've never needed a heavy Rebbe. You understand what that is? A big, deep revelation of some kind that nobody's ever heard of to get me what God has had for me. It's operating on the simple things, the simple truths of God's Word. And so I just said that to you tonight in case you're waiting for a heavy Rebbe that's not coming. All right? But then that all depends on what you call a heavy revelation, a deep revelation too. Okay? So we have to realize the enemy speaks lies to you so that fear will rise up in you. Fear causes you to believe something that isn't true. And you end up afraid of what might be. Every time since I learned how to deal with fear, and I've learned to face my fears and to go find out, I found that the thing that I was fearful of was not there. It was a lie. It was a lie. The devil is in the lying business. He will lie to you through circumstances. He will lie to you through in your thought life. He will cause people to lie to you. Give you wrong information. He'll even twist the Word of God out of context just to get you to a place where you believe something that's out of context, something that's really not the way God intended. But you got the Holy Spirit on the inside. You've been given the Spirit of truth. You have the Word of God that's going into you. That's why I admire you so much for coming out on a Sunday evening when you could be, you know, home. I know some of you came because your football game's already over that you wanted to watch. That's great. That's okay. Just make sure you get here. Why? Not because of me, but because of the Word. Because it'll help you get over your fears. I know what it is to be gripped with fear, paralyzed with fear. I know what it is to be free from it too. Amen. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. The more I hear the Word, the less I have to be afraid. See, God honors faith. Again, you cannot be full of fear and full of faith at the same time. God honors faith. If you want to receive from Him, you're going to have to learn to deal with your fears, get them put aside, and start believing what the Bible says. This is about as simple as it gets, isn't that right? Because you see, the truth is still the truth that faith moves the mighty hand of God. Fear will have to go as you listen to the Word. Faith rises up, puts you in a position to receive. Let me give you the third kind of people that Jesus said would not receive anything from Him. This might surprise you a little bit. The first two, how many of you were not caught by surprise on the first two? I wasn't either. The third one caught me by surprise. The third kind of people that just simply do not receive from God are lazy people. Lazy people. They just don't even care enough to receive from God. They're lazy. James chapter 1 verse 22 says it this way, "But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves." And then if you skip down to verse 25, it says, "He who looks into the perfect law of liberty," which we know is the Word of God, "and continues in it and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does." See, Christianity is an active relationship with God. It is not a passive religion. Christianity is where God has a part and you have a part. Last I checked, the theme song of Christianity is not the Porter Wagoner Dolly Parton song, "What Is to Be and What Might, What Ain't Just Might Happen." You know, "What is to be is to will be. Whatever, Lord, you're the one in charge." My friend, God is in charge in the sense that there's a grand plan. He's laid it out in the book. But I want to tell you something. You're in charge of your life. I find it interesting that people think that you've got a right to either reject Christ or receive Christ, but when it comes to everything else, you don't have any say so. Didn't you choose to accept Christ as your Savior? Sure you did. That's why you got saved. I want to tell you something. You've got to choose to receive all the rest too, if that's what you want. Isn't that right? Some people are waiting on God. But the truth is, God's made all his promises already. He's not going to make any more new ones. They're all in the book. Some people say, I'm waiting on God. But the truth is that God's already provided all he's going to provide through what Jesus did at Calvary's cross. He's already promised. He's already provided. It's already there. Well, I'm just waiting for the power. Sorry, it's here. Don't have to wait any longer. Did you know? Now, let me just tell you something. Here's something you and I got to get a hold of. The power of God is present everywhere. It's here. It will only be realized or experienced by those who believe. And upon whom God is ringing the dinner bell for, so to speak. You understand? I mean, I went to a meeting and had God ring the dinner bell and with the gifts of the Spirit, and that happened. But then he expected me to believe. Isn't that right? So you have to realize then that God, really when it comes down to it, you're not really waiting on God, God's waiting on you. Because God's already put things in place so that you and I can receive. God has already decided what he wants to give to you. Now you've got to decide what you're going to receive from him. God is waiting on you to receive what he's already promised. Therefore, you and I need to be diligent to be doers of the Word of God so that we will receive. Every week, millions of people watch sports games. They sit in the easy chair. They click the remote. They enjoy the games. And at the end, when it's over, you know, they click the remote and shut it off or go to something else. But they all have one thing in common. Everyone that watches the sports programs has something in common. They don't get paid. Only the players get paid. Only the participators get paid. Spectators don't get paid. I'm telling you, you're not going to earn a great... I probably oughtn't say it that way. Let's just say it this way. You've got to decide to be a participator in the things of God. You see, receiving is an action. It's not something you do. When you receive something from somebody, you've got to, even though they bring it to you, you've still got to reach out and take hold of it. But I think sometimes Christians look to God like this. God is holding it out to them to go, And that breaks God's heart, so to speak. You understand what I mean by that. That saddens him. That his children would receive, would refuse what he wants them to receive. I've got to learn to reach out and take hold of. That's another thing that in that visitation the Lord spoke to me. He said, you got to reach out and take hold of it. He said, receiving is not a passive, passive where you wait for something. He said, receiving is where you reach out and take hold of something. Actually, if you look at the Greek word for receive, one of the Greek words in the New Testament for receive is the Greek word lambano. And it means to reach or to take hold of. And so if somebody offered you some money, you would have to reach out to take hold of it. You can't sit there and say, well, if God wants me to have it, he knows where to find me. Sure, he knows where to find you. Truth is, he's already found you. But you see, here's the thing. You've got to decide, I'm going to take hold of it. I'm going to reach out. The question is, how do I take hold of what God has offered to me in the realm of the Spirit? How do I take hold of it? How do I reach out into the spirit realm and get it? Good question. Yes. Yes. How? By faith. You use your faith. You use your faith to receive. What do I mean by that? Well, let's take a look. You see, it's not begging God for something. Oh, God, please, please, oh, please. I just don't think I can stand it any longer. And God says, I know you can't. If you get over in faith, you can have it. Something will change. See, it's not begging, it's faith that will change. Faith enables you to receive. Believing the word and acting on it, that's reaching out and taking hold. Here's Mark chapter 10, verse 46. And we'll look at a man who received from God. I like this story because he didn't waste any time receiving from God. Says they came to Jericho, verse 46, and they went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great crowd. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Then many warned him to be quiet, but he cried out all the more, son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And then they called the blind man, saying to him, be of good cheer. He is calling you. And throwing aside his garment, he rose and came to Jesus. So Jesus answered and said to him, what do you want me to do for you? Can I add something right here? Inject something? God is still visiting his people and asking them, what is it that you want me to do for you? Jesus, the blind man said to him, Rabboni, that I might receive my sight. He knew exactly what he wanted. He didn't waste any time. He said, can I think about it? Can you come back tomorrow? Let me pray about that. He didn't do that. He said, you know, I just need to make sure I'm asking for the right thing. I think I need to pray and fast for 2 weeks. I'm not making fun of all that stuff, but when Jesus is right there and the moment is right there, that's not the time to put God off. That's the time to reach out with your faith, stand up and say, here's what I want. He didn't waste any time. And then Jesus said to him, go your way, your faith has made you well. And it says immediately, everybody say immediately, he received. Say it with me. Immediately he received. Immediately he took hold. Immediately he reached out. With his faith. And received. And it says, he received his sight and followed Jesus on the road. He did not sit passively by on the side of the road saying, thinking to himself, I just hope Jesus will notice me. Poor me. I just had it so bad. I just hope Jesus notices me. Now, I'm not going to say a word because that way I'll know that it's really God if Jesus notices me. He didn't do that, did he? We get such funny ideas sometimes. Boy, he made a noise. And the religious, he made enough noise that the religious people didn't like it. And when they told him to be quiet, he decided to make some more noise. He was intent on receiving from God. It was an action all the way for him. And so you see, he was not ignorant of who Jesus was. Bartimaeus was not afraid, and he was not lazy. He decided to act on what he believed. And so Bartimaeus received. So the question is, when do you receive? When do you receive? Mark 11:24 says it this way, therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. When do you believe? When do you receive? Once you have determined your need, that's the time to ask God for what you need. Isn't that right? How many of you are with me so far? But then the Bible says that when you ask or when you pray, believe that you receive. That means you could say it this way. When you ask or when you pray, then take hold of the promise. Or you could say it this way. When you ask or when you pray, then you reach out with your faith and get what God has provided. Yes. With your faith. So you have to understand, in this verse, it tells you when to receive. The moment you pray. The moment you pray, that's when you receive. That's when you take your faith and say, okay, I have asked. Go back to Matthew 7:7. What does it say? Ask and you shall receive. Go back to Matthew 7:8. What does it say? Everyone that ask, receive. What did he mean by that? That means that as soon as you ask, the next step is that I reach out with my faith and take hold of the answer, the promise, and I believe that I have received. I got it. By faith, I got it. By faith, I got it. I got it. I believe I've received it. I prayed. I've asked. Now I believe I receive. Now I believe I receive. I'm not going to believe when I see it come to pass. I'm going to believe the moment I ask. And so we have to realize then that, you see, when you take hold, you can walk away from here saying, I asked and I have received. You say, well, so tell me what happened. Tell me what happened. I received. I believe I received. You say, well, I know about that faith stuff, but I want to know what happened. Well, did your bills get paid? Did you get healed? What happened? You see, when somebody comes to you like that, they want to get you over into the latter part of the verse, and you shall have them. But I like the way a great faith teacher named Brother Hagin explained it. He said, believe that you receive is your part. And he said, the you shall have them, that's God's part. Amen. He said, don't touch that last part. Right. You understand what I mean? Yes. Your job, now listen to this, your job is to believe you receive when you pray. It's God's job to do, you shall have them. Everybody with me? Yes. You understand what I mean? I can walk away from here. As the moment I pray, I believe I've received. The moment I asked, I believe I've received. And the moment I ask and the moment I believe I receive, I know this much. The Bible says, and he shall have them. Say it with me. He shall have them. What does that mean? I can put my confidence in God that wherever he finds somebody that asks and then believes the moment he asks that he's receiving, I have confidence that God shall see to it that I shall have it. So when shall it be? When shall it be? When shall it be? I can't tell you when it shall be. That's God's part. I don't figure that out. Do you understand what I mean? My job's to stay over here, my part. I found out a long time ago, God's job's bigger than what I can do anyway. And every time that I try to do what is God's job, I end up looking like a fool. Fall flat on my face. I can't do what God can do and what God says is his job. I need to focus on my job. I want to thank God that I have received. Now, some people get into this, then they say, well, I believe I'm going to receive. I believe I'm going to receive. My friend, that's not what it said to do. I'll tell you a quick story, and then we'll end here. This is this. I'll tell it on my associate pastor that I had that came, and the music director that came up to move from Kentucky up to help us in one of the churches, and they knew they were supposed to be there, and I knew it in my spirit too. And so, but I wasn't going to tell them, you know, you got to be here by a certain time or whatever. I just said, it's up to you guys. You know, if you feel like that's it, then you work it out, you know. And so they'd call me every once in a while that day, and he would tell me, he said, well, we're coming soon. We're looking forward to it. And it just kept going on like that. Nothing seemed to be happening, and nothing seemed to be able to make the transition and things like that. And so finally one day, I said to him, brother, I know why he said something about it seems to be taking longer than he thought. I said, brother, I can tell you why it's taking longer. He said, why is that? I said, it's because you're not believing correctly. And I had his attention. He said, what do you mean? He said, you ought to be believing you're here. If you've asked God to move you to Mattoon, Illinois, where we were at, and be a part of that church, I said, then you ought to believe you're there. I said, no, you ought not be talking about, I'll be there soon, sometime soon as we get it worked out, we'll be there. You see, my friend, listen, that's not taking hold and believing you have received. Now, did he have to deal with things in the natural? Yes, he did. But you see, his believing needed to be right in order for God to see to it that he shall have them. And he said, I see it. And he started saying, it's a nice day here in Mattoon, isn't it? And I said, yes, it is, brother. And so he got himself corrected. It wasn't long at all before, listen to me, because they needed jobs, you know, and that kind of thing. Let me tell you something. God created a job for him, a brand new job for him, and a brand new job for her. They came to Mattoon and started making more money than they ever had in their whole entire life. And they were a blessing in the church and were just serving there and helping us in every way. And today they're the senior pastors in the church there. But I want to tell you something. Everything got off of not moving when he changed from believing that I'm going to have it soon to believing I have received. Believing I have received. I believe I have received. What is it that you need God to do for you tonight? Stand up with me. And can you answer that question? What is it that you need God to do for you? Can you answer that question? I believe that you ought to tell God, here's what I want from you tonight. I know that you're willing, you're able, you're a giver, you're more than enough. You're absolutely ready to go into action. You're listening for people who believe they receive. And I believe that you can confidently ask God based on the fact that he wants to. The Bible says so. He wants to provide. He wants to give. He wants to see to it that you have what you need to be able to move forward. Okay? Ask him for it. Just right where you're at. You don't have to have any special feeling. You don't have to wait for a buzz. You don't have to wait for goose pimples. You don't have to have the hair standing up on the back of your neck. You don't have to have any kind of feeling. You can just go ahead and just start saying, God, here's what I'm asking you according to your word. Now, you know you're not going to get something if you don't ask according to the word. But you're smart enough to know that you have to ask according to the word of God, or at least something that's allowed by the word is what I mean. So we ask for what we need right now. We thank you for it now. Now listen to this. Here's what I do. Here's what I encourage you to do. Right after you've asked now, Say this with me. Heavenly Father, now I believe I receive. I believe I've taken hold. I believe I've reached out and gotten it. I believe I have received. So I want to thank you, Father, that I have received. I believe I have received. I believe that I have received the promise of God. My every need met. That which I've asked you for, I believe I have it now. I have received it now. In Jesus' name. Now, Father, I want to say thank you that you can't take care of the doing of it. I've done my part, and I thank you that you're doing your part. Oh, thank you, Father. Oh, my goodness. I thank you that heaven's moved into action. I thank you that ministering spirits are sent forth. I thank you that the Holy Spirit is moving. I thank you that the Father God is moved by the requests that have come to him. I thank you that Jesus is seated on the throne, actively listening and interceding for us and saying we have a right to ask for these things. And so I thank you that heaven is at attention because we believe we have received. And so I thank you for it now. I thank you for it now. I want to say thank you, Father, because I believe I have received. You know, when you receive something, you ought to say thank you. Isn't that right? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So what do you do now? You keep thanking him until you see what God does that last part in the verse. You're in the thank you mode now. Thank God I have received. You don't go by feeling, you go by the word. I said you don't go by feeling, you go by the word. Tomorrow morning you might not feel as spiritual as you do right now. But it doesn't matter, does it? Because you're not going by feeling, you're going by the word. Isn't that right? Going by the word. Tomorrow, the word's still the same. And tomorrow, I have already received. Since I've already received tonight, then I've already received tomorrow. Unless I cancel the order. And I'm not going to do that. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, did you get something tonight? All right. Well, we encourage you to meditate on those truths, and it'll help you to receive from God and help you to avoid looking at Matthew chapter 7, verse 8, where it says, everyone who asks receives. And look, it'll help you to avoid looking at that wistfully. You'll be looking at that and rejoice and say, hey, that's not a problem. That's talking about me. Look at your neighbor and say, that verse is talking about me. Talking about me. Amen. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad for the word? I'm telling you, the word's changed my life. Hallelujah. Praise God. Glory to God. And it'll change your life. Ha ha. It'll change what you have not been able to do. What you've been frustrated with. Ha ha ha. Ask God, and then believe you receive. And then you can go your way rejoicing and giving thanks because you know God is doing what he said. Amen. Amen. All right. We've got these wonderful ladies over here and these great guys over here. They're here tonight to pray with you. If you need any prayer for anything and you need somebody to agree with you. Now, sometimes I want to tell you something, you know, If you're in a position where you need somebody to add their faith to yours, you say, you know, I'm almost there, but I need somebody to help me. Or you say, I have this need, but I don't know if the word would says I can have it or not. These guys, put them to the test. Put these ladies to the test. See if they know whether you can have it or not, whether the word says you can have it or not. Amen. That's what they're here for. Come up and ask them. Amen. And then pray with them and have them agree with you. One translation of the Bible says that where two or three are, where they come into agreement, it says there the Father goes into action. Amen. All right. God bless you. We'll go from there. And we are excited about the things of God, excited about what God's doing in your life. Don't forget, no service Wednesday night. If you come on Wednesday evening, you get to enjoy the lights, but there's no hour of power. Okay? But that's okay. The lights are worth the trip. But I want to tell you something else. Come Thursday night, because that is, where we have carols and candlelights and communion. Precious time in God. Amen. You don't want to miss that if you're here. All right, God bless you. Oh, by the way, connection team, find those people that are here for the very first time, and they want to help them to get that gift that's been prepared for them. Help them to know just a little bit more about Rhema Bible Church. Would you give our first-time guests a great big hand again as they go? They're gonna go get that gift that's been prepared for them. And we thank God for that. Amen. All right. God bless you. Thank you for being here tonight. Shake hands with several people and just let them know that you believe, you receive. And those of you that are watching online, you can say it right there where you are. I believe, I have received. In Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.